The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
Governor of Puerto Rico, Rico Ricardo Rossello, although I think Luis Gutierrez is going to be the next governor of Puerto Rico, but it's just the way I'm looking
at it. Teeing up something.
Who had gotten along pretty well with Donald Trump. That relationship has gone south now. That the president tweeted that the 3,000 deaths that have been reported in Puerto Rico, that's a new number that that when he left the island right after Hurricane Maria went through, there were anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths, and I don't know where they came up with the 3,000 number, and the whole thing has been made up by the Democrats. So here is the governor responding to that.
Neither the people of Puerto Rico nor the victims deserve their pain to be questioned. You know, we went through a rigorous scientific process. We externalized the investigation so that it was an independent investigation. So we are confident in that estimate. You know, we need to clarify that it's always, at least at this juncture, going to be an estimate. But we're confident that it is very much so around that number.
Now, this was a George Washington University study that they did. They sent their teams in to figure this out. It's a university doing it. It was not the territorial government of Puerto Rico. It was not it was not done by a political organization. It wasn't done by a K Street lobbyist. This is done by a university. And the point of this is, of these 2,975 deaths that they think are attributed to Maria, that some of them were as a result of the flooding, which is what we're concerned about now in the Carolinas. Some of them were within the first days of the hurricane coming through. But the long-term effect, and the president saying, well, you know, I got people, you know, dying of old age, and they account for them there. That is not what they are doing, according to what we have read from this report. It is not that people who were not well are being counted here unless they lost access to their medicine or to electricity or things that would have kept them alive.
Right. In a lot of cases, it was infrastructure and healthcare deficiencies that resulted from the storm that then later contributed to their death. So if you're on kidney dialysis and your hospital lost electricity and you weren't able to and you died, they included you in some cases.
If the hurricane didn't happen, they wouldn't have died. That's basically what the prerequisite would be.
Correct. But it is different than the way they've handled deaths from hurricanes like in Katrina. It's a slightly different way of doing it, which I think that is the piece of this. It doesn't mean that they didn't die as a result of hurricane-related issues, but typically the death toll is you know, due to the storm surge, due to the flooding, due to drowning and that kind of thing. And these were including infrastructure failures.
Okay. Which I think is a fair way of looking at the impact, the true impact of hurricanes. This is a better way of looking at it. So there will be
moving forward
better preparedness for hurricanes, better reactivity to when hurricanes hit. And we went through this with Katrina. There was the response was initially slowed. It was misunderstood. It was it was misdirected in some cases.
That's right.
And then they eventually got around to doing what they needed to do. And so these are dynamic situations. And if I could just take politics out of it for a second, this would be a good moment for the United States government, regardless of who's running it, to look at the hurricane response, especially if you're gonna deal with an island, right? And Puerto Rico is the United States. You know, that's until such time as Puerto Rico leaves the United States or the United States kicks Puerto Rico out of the United States, it is the United States. There's no two ways around it. So we have responsibility to the territory, as we do in Guam. So this is not as we do to embassy and military installations throughout the world that are not necessarily on our soil. So this is a significant, significant, significant thing. And when you look at this and you can say, well, you know, the president can make an argument to his, especially to his, you know, most fervent supporters, look, the Democrats are making this up to make me look bad. And I'm sure there are people that would immediately agree with him on that. But the reality is, if you take that out, what are we going to do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And why have a response like, look at this, they're making this up to make me look bad, as opposed to, and I did an A-plus on this, this is the best anybody has ever done in a situation like this. The response could be, hey, this is an important moment to recalibrate how we look at these storms, especially now that we have this one coming ashore.
Yes.
And there are four more out in the Atlantic.
Well, you've got
barreling toward us,
imminent destruction, and hopefully not death. But you look at the size of that storm, and there's a lot of focus that needs to be had on that. Exactly what's facing us right now.
All right,
number four.
It's awkward over at CBS. There's just no two ways to put it, and it's really awkward on that CBS morning show. Right, because now every hour they have to talk about somebody else that hired them that they were really happy and went out to drinks with after they got hired and really happy, and now that person has lost their job, and it started with Les Moonves.
Yeah, Julie Chen has actually moved into the Big Brother house. It's like the first time they ever added someone like that. It's like, wait a minute, I need a place, you guys.
I mean, if we didn't understand that Les Moonves had there was something wacky going on with him, I never understood at CBS. How the rest of the employees were like, how come Julie Chen gets all these jobs?
And the winner of the new gig on
The
Talk is my wife.
She has her own talk show, her own reality show.
Right.
Right. She was a regular on CBS News specials. How does that happen? Oh, you're married to
She's
boss.
Married to him.
She's very talented.
Well, now after they lost Moonves, now they lost another guy.
Oh.
Jeff Fager. Jeff Fager was the head of CBS News. And they say, CBS says, that they fired Jeff Fager because he sent a nasty text to one of their reporters who was investigating him.
Oh,
CBS
geez.
Was investigating itself. She was covering the story about the story of CBS News and this turmoil at the top.
Oh, wow.
And he sent her a text that said, hey, be careful.
Oh.
And then she went to HR.
Good for her.
And HR was like, I don't think this is right.
Yeah.
What was it like when you received that text on Sunday?
I was shocked, and like the many people that I've covered, you finally understand that conflicting feeling about why and what, and why would you even put me in this position now? Mm-hmm. I spoke to someone here that I've
been
working...
Did you view it as a threat?
I did.
Yes.
And it's even hard to say that today, because, yes, we do receive harsh language all the time, but this is someone who held an enormous amount of power here, who I respected... And I was shocked.
He texted her, be careful. There are people who have lost their jobs trying to harm me. Hard to look at that as anything other than a threat.
I can think of one who lost her job.
Wow.
Send her the text.
It wow. Just, here it is. There's already enough evidence to warrant a reporter covering it. There's already enough evidence for an internal investigation. And yet he still... takes that tack in writing. He uses that. It tells what makes you wonder what his history is.
Well, he'd been there a long time and
highly respected.
Yeah.
There's no question in terms of his work.
Jeff was on this show actually a couple years ago when Morley Safer died. And
I think there have only been two guys running 60 Minutes, right? In the history of 60 Minutes, Don Hewitt
and Jeff Fager.
And then Jeff Fager.
Yeah. All right. By the way, we'll get to your 3, 2, and 1, but let me just, this breaking news. Well, I don't know. Does Judy want to do the breaking news? Because I'm going to, does she have it? All right. We don't know if she has it, but Paul Manafort has just pleaded guilty. Just took a plea deal. So he is going to avoid the second trial going on in Washington, D.C.,
And can I add another story to that? Sorry.
Yes,
I didn't know which
do.
One you were. Oh, I have so many breaking stories today. But we're just hearing that a Chicago police officer has been shot in the arm and the leg.
Ooh.
And actually, and I say Chicago, it could be an Illinois state police officer, but probably Chicago. Being transported to Mount Sinai with a very large escort.
All right. We'll keep an eye on all of those stories. But right now, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spot.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
When Devon Windsor is apologizing for comments that she made suggesting that she can relate to the struggles of women of color because of her hair. She is one of the models appearing on the new E-Series Model Squad.
Ooh.
That's what we say in Chicago.
Model Squad.
Thank you, Squad.
Is your mom watching Model Squad?
And she got a dressing down from Shanina Sheikh, whose father has roots in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, recounting to her fellow models how people used to tell her she would never do high fashion because of her skin color. And then things just got a lot of control from right there.
What's going on? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Diversity.
Diversity?
What?
Diversity.
Diversity.
I used to get bullied.
I literally went through hell and literally lived in different countries like every other month and didn't speak that language, didn't speak Paris, didn't speak Italian. And I did that for like 2 years.
I don't think you can relate to the turmoils of being different.
Do you know how hard it is to be blonde? I have to get a highlight every month.
You know how hard it is to be blonde? Oh my God, small violin.
So she's equating being blonde, having to get highlights with the other people's struggles. I think she was sort of kidding there. Was she or not? I mean, I didn't see the video. It looked it was an ignorant thing to say.
I wonder if she can speak Barcelona. She said she couldn't speak Paris.
Yeah. What we learned from Model Squad.
Don't watch it.
Is that models might not always have worked as hard in school as they maybe should have because they were pretty. I think that's what we've learned.
Oh,
is it one of the Jenners on this Model Squad?
I don't know about that.
Isn't that the show Uma Thurman was on in Pulp Fiction, the pilot that she did? Model Squad. Four spots, five.
Checking in at
number 2.
Take 3 for Norm MacDonald. He went on The View today to try to explain what he said on the Howard Stern show based on what he had said before that.
Uh-oh.
What were you trying to say?
Yeah.
Well, I was, print reporters, they ask you questions and then put them all together. What I was talking about was Chris Hardwick, this particular comedian.
Right.
That was a friend of mine. And, if 500 women go against a man, obviously the guy's guilty. But then Chris Hardwick won. It was one woman against one man.
Right.
You know? So I was saying that I thought it was good that the pendulum was slowing and Chris Hardwick has been as rehabilitated as he's going to get.
Okay.
Is that what he said?
But then when he was on Stern, he talked about, how...
He talked about Down syndrome.
Yes, so they asked about that.
There used to be a word we would all say to mean stupid that we don't say anymore,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know the word I'm talking about? Yes.
Yeah.
And stupidly, I was about to say that word, I stopped and said, "What's the right word to say?" And then I said, a different word that was equally.
Yeah.
Did you realize at that moment that probably...
I realized at that moment that I'd done something unforgivable.
Norm MacDonald used to do Weekend Update. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he used to.
And then he got fired because he wouldn't let it lay off of OJ, and the guy running the network was OJ's friend.
Right.
Now every 20, 30 years or so, Norm gets...
Yeah.
It started off with him saying that he's friends with Roseanne and he's friends with Louis C.K. and he put the two of them together because they're two of the only people in the world who have gone through what they've gone through. And it sounded like he was being insensitive to the victims. That's how this all started.
Okay.
And I'm trying to promote his Netflix show and things are...
Went south from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's apparently not... I don't know if he's stoned, but he certainly sounds like he is. And if he's not, he should be. And then let's just blame that. Let's move on from there. Okay.
Number 1.
One of the top 25 songs, American-made songs of all times, and one of the top 10 albums of all times, right? When Doves Cry from Prince's Purple Rain. That didn't need to be remade, did it? That didn't need to be covered. Does that need to be covered? It's a hard song to cover.
Who would cover it?
Bieber? No?
Well, Metallica, was not part of the not part of the message there. Metallica probably should have thought this out.
animals try curious poses. They feel the heat between me and fighting me just made me stand in. I know the earth is so cold. Maybe I'm just too demanding.
Online they say this is what it sounds like when doves die.
Oh my oh my goodness.
You're just like my mother. She never satisfied.
I like Metallica.
I agree, but yeah. Look at your Beavis turning to Butthead, you know.
Yeah.
Know
your kinda
leave that one alone.
Know your genre. I think there's an important one there.
That sucked. That really sucked.
The top five at five.
Judy's news being brought to you by Grandview Homes.